This is Job Corps, a one-hour program about Job Corps in general and Tunk Point Job Corps Center in particular. This program is written and reported by the students themselves. We are in our sixth year. Tonight we have peer advisors, a vocational field trip, community emergency response team training, Earth Day Every Day, the Student Leadership Washington, D.C. experience, dental vocation exams, an appreciation, and a donation, and our regular features, good news, and why I came to Job Corps. All this on tonight's edition of This is Job Corps. In the studio, we have student reporters Erica Keough, Fernando Salazar, Takena Thomas, and Kayla Schacht. Also in the studio is engineer Terry Wilson, co-producer of this program, CERT's co-coordinators Bill and Dorothy Davidson, and Tunk Point Business and Community Liaison Tita Montero. Okay, let's get started. Earlier this month, some of our students had the opportunity to earn community service hours by playing victims. Terry, Dorothy, and Bill are here to explain.
Thank you, Tamara. I am a CERT. What does that mean? Well, we're going to explain that. And we had a CERT graduation past Saturday, out at Tunk Point. And I'm going to ask Bill and Dorothy to explain what CERTs is, what CERTs does, and why CERTs is in existence, and what that graduation consisted of.
Well, basically, CERT is the Community Emergency Response Team. And that was a program that was started back after 9/11 when they discovered that they needed to have more than just our initial first responders be able to help in an emergency situation. It is sponsored by FEMA, and in our case, we are sponsored by the Astoria Fire and Rescue. Our current CERT team consists of 25 volunteers. And after our graduation last Saturday, we have gotten 15 applications for more volunteers.
Yes, last Saturday, as we mentioned, was our final exercise. Those 15 people that will become part of the team went through an exercise, and during this period of time, a lot of the students out at the point volunteered to be what we call patients. Now, this is about the third year we have used them. We found out that besides having a lot of fun with them, they're extremely helpful and they enjoy it themselves. So we're very appreciative to Tunk Point and to the students for helping us on our final exercises out there.
What does a victim do?
Well, what we do is, depending on how we set them up, usually each student is given a card that says a certain thing is wrong with them. We place them in one of our buildings out there that we are using, and they are to be laying or hidden or wherever it may be, so that the new team members have to go in, search and rescue, do triage, figure out what's wrong, and move them outside for further treatment.
And it's a lot of fun. And the training consists of 8 weeks, I believe it is.
Yes,
eight weeks. And they teach us first aid and how to go into a building that perhaps is collapsed and raise up the beams and that and extract bodies. One very important job that the CERTs has, we have our own truck called the CERTmobile, and we tow a trailer. And that trailer is used to pump up the air packs for scuba divers and for the firemen to go into buildings. And that's one of the things, it's the rehab, rehabilitation is what the CERTs do.
Correct.
So.
We also participate in community outreach as far as getting the word out about earthquakes and tsunamis. And we actually deal with all hazards, even if it's something as routine as we have in the area of large storms. Some of the things that CERT has done in the past was to go out and do the damage assessment after our big storm in December of 2007. We completed that for the city, and they were able to pass on the figures to FEMA and get the ball rolling as far as a damage assessment.
Yeah, basically CERT was set up to train individuals to be able to help themselves, their families, their neighbors during any type of catastrophe or problem. And we go through all of these different ways of doing it. Nothing major, but the basic things that everyone can use to better benefit themselves, their family, and their neighbors.
We're taught to how to turn off the gas meters in case a gas line is broken, how to turn off a water meter in case something is being flooded because of an earthquake or something like that. I heard a funny story about our graduation Saturday, and evidently some of the Job Corps kids wanted to be the people who were dead, because yes, we have several categories of patients. Some are walking wounded, some need first aid, can be done on spot, and the walking wounded can help with us with the evacuation, that sort of stuff. And then there's always a few people that are considered dead, and the people who do the triage and that, well, you just go on, because there are maybe hundreds more who need your help. You don't worry about the dead people who are already dead until after the event. And I guess some of the kids wanted to be the dead ones because they could lay down and just stay there.
Yeah, that's so true. It's funny, you wouldn't think that would be, but two of the girls came up to me and said they really wanted to be one of the dead persons, and one of them told me, I tried to trade cards with somebody that was dead, but they didn't want to let go of it. So I get, they all have fun out there, and I really enjoy working with them. They're great kids.
They're great
really
kids.
Enjoy it.
Yes. We had one young man, this was his second year as a victim, and last year when we did it, he got himself in such a position that he somehow had his arm and his shoulder bent behind him, and he actually, we had to just do a little work with him after the whole thing to make sure that he hadn't pinched a nerve or something. So this time he was the only one who had participated for the second time, and he was a dead person and wanted to be. So.
Well, I might mention Bill and Dorothy are not natives here in the Astoria region. They came to us out of the Los Angeles area, where they did this work down there. And you're both EMTs, right?
California EMTs, yes.
Fire experience.
So they bring a lot of knowledge to the CERT's team up here. A real addition to our community. And, of course, the kids out of Tongue Point with our exercises, a real addition to our community also.
If anyone has the time and there's ever an occasion to go out there and visit at the Job Corps, it is a very, very impressive facility. And we've had the opportunity to work with some of the staff out there, and they are very caring, compassionate people who just want to see those kids succeed. That's their mission in life.
And the head of security out there, Bob, he's a brand new CERT member
with this class.
Yes, he is. We got him through, but yeah, Bobby. We got Bob through.
But we've actually had one Job Corps student who completed the training, and we have, I believe, four other prior class last year, we had some of the staff complete the training. So they're pretty well prepared in the case should they be needed.
Well, thank you both for being here today. And we really do appreciate the opportunity for our students and staff to participate.
Well, thank you. We appreciate them.
Thanks for coming in. Mm-hmm.
Our student government vice president, Takena Thomas, is here with an item to present to Coast Community Radio.
All right, we just want to say that we are appreciative for the opportunity to be on air. So we're giving a check for $250 to the community, Coast Community Radio.
Well, thank you very much. I'm Tom Hartland. It's my job at Coast Community Radio to make sure that we are continuing to raise funds. So thank you for this boost. It's a big help to us. And we have thousands of listeners and supporters who have been following the success of students like you coming to Coast Community Radio for these monthly programs. So it's a privilege for us to not only receive your support in this way, but it's a privilege to watch your own growth and development as you launch your careers. And I want you to know that this is a community radio you can take wherever you go, because coastradio.org is a way for you to dial this up and hear it whenever you like.
Thank you, Tom. We really do appreciate the opportunities our students have to share their Tongue Point experiences during this program. And the opportunity, it's so much fun each month to come and see how much fun they have getting to write stories and report as part of the regular monthly show. So thank you.
It's my pleasure, and thanks for being here.
Thank you. Erica, you recently went on a field trip to Portland. Who went, and what was the purpose of the trip?
The dental assisting vocation and I went to the 2010 Oregon Dental Conference on the 8th of April. It was marked the 118th annual session of the Oregon Dental Association and marks the association's 13th year at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland, Oregon. The conference is the concurrent meeting of the Oregon Dental Association, the Oregon Society of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgeons, the Oregon State Association of Endodontics, the Oregon State Society of Orthodontists, the Oregon Society of Periodontists, the Oregon Academy of General Dentistry, the Oregon Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, the Oregon Dental Assistants Association, the Oregon Executives Association, as well as a place for hygienists and laboratory technicians from throughout the Northwest to meet. There were a number of booths dispersed all over the convention center, providing information on whatever that particular organization or school may be. You can earn up to 18 continued education credits in 3 days at the Oregon Dental Conference. We spent our time doing educational activities, and there were courses scheduled throughout the day. The course that I attended was called Burning Down the House, Understanding Inflammation's Role in Oral Systemic Connections. The speaker was Kelly Swanson Jakes, whom is currently a faculty member of Western Oregon University. It was a 3-hour session, and the objectives to this course was to recognize the mechanism and role of inflammation in the body, identify key inflammatory mediators and their systemic action, understand periodontal disease as a chronic inflammatory disease, explore the connection of inflammation and periodontal disease with other systemic conditions, address the role of OTC anti-inflammatory rinses in disease prevention. The course was worth 3 continuing education credits. We all attended the trade show grand opening held in the exhibit hall. This was like a one-stop shopping ground for dental professionals. It had over 200 great exhibitors participating. They were offering free complimentary 10-minute head and neck massages by trained masseurs. They had many trade show raffles with amazing prizes, such as the Dental Foundation of Oregon Car Raffle. They also had golf swing analysis in the golf interest area and a new dentist reception. They provide delectable food that screamed, "Eat me," from sushi to cheese fondue and to the dessert bar. Beverages were also provided, and so did wine tasting. Of course, for people of age. My classmates left the dental conference with a tote bag full of dental goodies and more knowledge in dentistry. It was overall a great experience. It gave me more motivation, and I'm very excited to one day become a dental hygienist. I'm glad to have had the opportunity to participate in this event and help make it a success.
Thank you, Erica. Kayla also went to the conference. And what session did you go to, Kayla?
I also went to the same lecture as Erica. We tagged along together, and I would like to become a hygienist one day as well. So it was very interesting to be around so many others in the same field as I hope to be. And like Erica said, they offered very many lectures and courses for the 3-day weekend. I believe it was a 3-day conference. We were only able to attend on that Friday, but I got a course listing, and hopefully I'll be there in 2011. So it was very intriguing, I'd have to say.
Well, thank you, Kayla. Now, while you're at the microphone, You are one of our peer advisors on Center, one of the first group of peer advisors we have. Tell us a little bit about the peer advisor program and your role as a peer advisor.
Well, peer advising has not been a new idea, but it just was implemented last year. And I believe I'm one of, I think, eight of the first to begin this program. It's pretty monumental. The two counselors, Brenda Carr and Katrina Morell, are the supervisors of the program, and they realize that students on Center may be...
Students sometimes who have issues are more comfortable talking to their peers than staff, perhaps?
Exactly, yes. They just realize that students may be more comfortable talking to other students about certain issues. And we took 8 weeks of training to be able to help give advice about these issues that the students might have, anywhere from homesickness to trouble in their vocations. And we have all come from different backgrounds and are in different trades, have been in different residences, so we all can offer a different perspective for each student. And we make our schedules every week. There's someone available every day of the week, and we are just there for them. We try to go to the business meetings and let them know our schedules, what we're there for. It's free advice, basically. And the students have really seemed to take on to it, and I have become more and more comfortable with coming and talking to us about this. And this has been our second training for peer advisors, so our group is growing, and it's just been a great experience being able to help others.
Do you help train the new group of peer advisors as they come in?
Yes, we do. We tell them about experiences we had in the past. You know, we have to tweak the program a little bit. It's new, so different things come up, and they just ask us about how we would answer for certain situations. We aren't trained to give advice. We just listen to students and help them come to their own conclusions. And sometimes people just need someone to vent to. So we're there to listen, and sometimes that's all they need. That does the trick.
Thank you, Kayla. It's an excellent program, and I'm glad it's started again on Center.
Yes. So,
thank you. Let's hear one of our regular features, the good news with Erica.
In March, there was 9 students earned high school diplomas and 17 students earned GEDs.
Thank you. We're always proud of their accomplishments. Last month, Takena had the privilege of representing Tongue Point Job Corps Center in Washington, D.C. Tita will tell us why, and then Takena will talk about her experiences. Tita.
Every year, the National Job Corps Association, which is a consortium of Job Corps centers, facilitates a day on the Hill. Each Job Corps center director and business and community liaison participate. And Tongue Point Job Corps Center is operated by Management and Training Corporation, or MTC. MTC operates about 25 Job Corps centers in the country. And MTC not only sends students along with the center directors and the BCLs, or Business Community Liaison, to Washington, D.C., but after the day on the Hill, they provide a 2-day leadership conference for all of the students, because MTC realizes that students are what Job Corps is all about. So besides having the students visit their senators and representatives, there's the 2-day leadership conference where Takena had the opportunity to meet probably about 60 other students from MTC-operated Job Corps centers throughout the country. But first, we visited Congressman Wu's office, and we met with Senators Merkley and Wyden. A highlight, I have to put this highlight in. Takena was one of two students chosen who addressed a group of about 400 people before the Hill visits occurred. The audience included congressional staffers, and other speakers included three congressmen. So we're really proud of Takena. So tell us about your experiences, Takena.
As Tita was saying, I was one of the speakers, one of the first speakers to get up there, so I was nervous but ready to share my story about why I came to Job Corps. The opportunity was exciting, being up there, seeing all of the faces, and as she said, the congressmen and senators were there, got a standing ovation, which was very, I was very proud of that because a lot of people felt the story and they supported Job Corps in a way to know that students come from hard places and knowing that they're going to be going to better places in their life.
So tell us more about the leadership conference and the students, other students you met.
So the first day, we were able to go on Capitol Hill. My first time flying, first time going to Washington, D.C. So it was a new experience for me, being able to see all of these monuments and very historical places. Walking in the halls of the Capitol Hill and being able, Capitol Hill, but senators' offices, and being able to stand in their office and wait for our visits to happen, sitting down with their secretaries and just getting our stories out to them and letting them know their support counts and we appreciate them supporting the Job Corps students.
At Congressman Wu's office, who he is a great supporter of Tongue Point Job Corps Center. He was not able to meet with us at that time because he happened to be in the White House for the signing of the health care legislation. So we met with his legislative director, Chris Pratt, who was, she was very effusive about their support. And one of the things Takena did was she prepared two big thank you cards from the students that she presented to Senators Merkley and Wyden. And they were gorgeous. She did them all herself by hand, and I think they were probably 18 inches by maybe 12 inches. And she spent one day at lunchtime getting students to sign them. They were very appreciative of those cards. So, and we had to do a second visit to Wyden to get pictures, didn't we?
Yes.
So, and on the leadership.
Okay, so we had about 3 days, 4 days of leadership. They sat us down in a room, in a conference room, and we were with the other group of students. I was with about 60 students, and they just shared with us what it is to be a leader and how we can take what they're teaching us and take it to our centers and show students what it is to become a leader from the inside out. Because then if you can lead yourself, then you are able to show others the way. And they started with one of the openings where the theme was promoting positive leadership through self-achievement, I believe.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And tell about the speaker, Anna Street.
Anna Street was a graduate from Tongue Point. She's one of the Hall of Famers. She graduated in 1968 out of the clerical, then it was.
It was the clerical. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she was amazing. She started her own center. I believe it was Pivot. And became the center director there, and then went on to open up a second school in Delaware, I believe it was, and started again. So she was amazing. Her story was amazing to start off from being a student to go on to be center director, and now she's one of the speakers for Job Corps MTC, and she goes around doing motivational speeches and letting students know that they can achieve.
Yes. Great person who's come through Tongue Point. So in 1968, Tongue Point was all female. So, and then in 1972, it was the first Job Corps Center in the country to go co-ed. And that's what most Job Corps Centers are today. So you have one memory that stands out more than anything else?
I do. Being able to stand up in the Lincoln Memorial where Dr. Martin Luther King stood, and looking out over at the monuments. It was a very powerful moment for me, just being able to feel the history there and just experience it for myself and not it from a book or on TV.
Well, thank you both. It is an excellent opportunity our students have each year to attend. Erica is getting ready to take an examination in dental assisting. Erica?
Yes, possibly at the end of this month or maybe next month, I will be taking my radiation health and safety exam. The radiation health and safety exam is one of the components to becoming a certified dental assistant. In my dental assisting vocation curriculum, to help us prepare for this exam, we take a 50-hour Oregon Board of Dentistry radiology course instructed by our vocation instructor, Sherry Hinkle. Passing this exam allows dental assistants to demonstrate competence in an area that is very important to the health and safety of dental healthcare workers and patients alike. Someone here in the studio today has taken the exam before, and I'd like to ask her some questions. Kayla Shaw.
Hi, Erica.
So how did you feel about this test?
Well, I actually enjoy taking exams, so I was pretty excited about it, and I'm pretty confident, and I studied with the group, like you said, the OBD course for 50 hours. I took my exam a little early on December 2009, and I was super excited, couldn't wait to get in there and get it done and over with and pass, because failure wasn't an option. And I was good to go. Everyone was nervous, and I was like, let's get in there. And when I got there, it's pretty serious. It's like almost CIA kind of thing. They take your fingerprint and you sign it. You have to show them your ID, and you get a locker and a special key and everything. And so I was completely good until I went to put my fingerprint down, and then I lost it. I was so worried that I was going to come back and be the only one that didn't pass, and I was getting flustered, and my instructor was so shocked because I was the one that's like, I'm early, I'm going early, I'm not waiting for the group, I want to go today and let's do this now. But I went in and I felt more comfortable when we sat down at the computers, and I took the test, and it went very smoothly. And at the end of it, I was surprised that it was the end, and I walked out and I completed, and I screamed and I had to leave. So it went fantastically well. I was very pleased. So
that's great. Still sounds nerve-wracking, but I'm glad you passed, and I heard you got a record-breaking score.
I did.
What was your score?
Well, the pass score, the high score in the last 2 or 3 years on record was a 635, and I got a 680, so topping the charts, basically.
Congratulations, Kayla.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, now I know who's going to be tutoring me. So,
definitely.
Thank you, Kayla.
You're welcome.
Well, there you have it.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a brief musical interlude.
Thank you. And that music was from Ross Hankins, our Residence 2 president, playing his guitar. Another regular feature we have is why I came to Job Corps. Kayla, why did you come to Job Corps?
Well, I made the decision to enroll in Job Corps in the summer of 2008, around my 20th birthday. I wasn't making very good decisions at that time, and I realized I couldn't really recall the last time I'd left my apartment, and I decided that probably wasn't a good sign, and I told myself that I should probably be doing something a little more productive. So shortly after that life-changing realization, I was watching TV and I saw a commercial for Job Corps. I called the toll-free number and was referred to my admissions counselor for orientation. I then phoned my aunt, who was thrilled about my decision, and offered to attend the orientation with me for support. We found out more about the program and the many vocations Job Corps offers around the U.S. They have vocations from seamanship or advanced automotive to pharmacy technician or dental assisting, which is a field I've always been interested in. After the orientation, I realized that program was exactly what I needed at this point, or at that point in my life. I had always enjoyed being in school, and I excel academically. My issue was I'd lost motivation, and Job Corps offered me something that I needed at that time, which was structure and assistance. Job Corps is able to offer structure for students who think they need it, but simultaneously offer other students earned independence and the opportunity to better their lives. So I arrived at Tongue Point Job Corps on December of 2008. I was extremely anxious when I was dropped off at the Greyhound station. They had about a two-hour nerve-wracking wait until the bus would come take me to Astoria. I know I'm a naturally outgoing person, but I was still petrified at the thought that I would arrive and find no one to befriend. And thankfully, that wasn't the issue at all. I took a seat on the bus, and I met one of my input sisters. And for those of you that aren't or weren't Job Corps students, on Center we refer to other students who arrived on the same day as us as our input brother or sister. So she introduced herself to me and offered me some gummy bears, so I knew that it would be a lasting friendship from then on. I think the most difficult adjustment for me on Center was getting used to waking up before noon. Once I had that down, though, everything went smoothly. I love my vocation. I made great friends. I became a resident of the independent living dorm, began giving back to Centers through peer or through Center students through peer advising, and I'm excited to hopefully become a member of the college program here in Astoria for the summer term.
A question I often ask some of our reporters, what did you think when you drove up to the gate in the big blue bus?
I thought, there's a gate. I have to sign in and out. This is pretty scary, but it's pretty scenic when you come down the hill. It looks gorgeous. I came at the perfect time and there's sun setting and
good.
Yeah.
I've had some students say I thought I was going to jail.
I hear that a lot. I heard rumors before I came that you're going to Job Corps, and it's not like that at all. It depends on the person. If you are ready to make changes and are open to new things, then Job Corps is perfect for you. There's some students that come and they don't make it because they're not ready to make a commitment to change themselves at that time. But I think it's a great program. I'm so glad I came. I referred one of my friends from back home, and she came as well. And it's just been really great for me. I'm really happy I did it.
So what do you do in your spare time? How do you stay busy or stay focused?
Well, you have to be creative. There's actually, they have a lot of opportunities to do things. The rec hall offers games. They have a basketball court and a workout room and a game room. And every weekend they have multiple rec trips to really amazing things. They did, I think a few weeks ago, they went to a water park. And we are going in town on movies. They take us to basketball games in Portland and plays. And there's always something new to do. They have movies playing at the movie theater on Center, and if socializing usually takes up about 95% of my time, so that's my big commitment there right now. But
now you are a peer advisor. Have you done any other leadership positions on center?
I actually have been a peer advisor since the beginning. That's been my thing. I'm putting in an application to work at the Tsunami Zone, so hopefully I get that. But I don't know. Job Corps has been really good. My aunt and uncle have been really supportive of me throughout this whole time, and that's helped me a lot. I think everyone has a point at their stay that they want to give up, or something's happening and they don't know if they can make it. But I'm a peer advisor, so I can't do that and let everyone down. And I talk to my aunt and uncle, and they're always positive, have a good outlook, and my friends have been really helpful. So I've been doing really great, and I complete the dental program next week, but I'll be staying for another advanced certification so I can get into college. And yeah, things are looking pretty good.
And we really appreciate your positive attitude. I think that makes a big difference.
Thank you.
Great job, Kayla.
Thank you.
Fernando, our student government secretary, has information on our center's plans for Earth Day Every Day. What is Earth Day Every Day, and what are we planning for Tongue Point?
Okay. Well, Earth Day Every Day is a week-long Earth-friendly initiative to inform students about the planet and its environment. It's a part of Job Corps' green initiative to make the center more environmentally friendly. During the week, there will be activities that will promote an understanding of concepts and actions that are key to renewability and sustainability. This was done in part by SGA that came up with some of the activities for this. Let me see. The first activity we have planned would be for April 20th. We are hosting a green fashion show that we'll be doing during the business show. And all costumes made for this will be made from recycled materials, as such, being green. And then for April 20th, we're hosting a green-themed art contest. All students who are interested in entering the art contest will be doing things like poems, songs, posters, artwork. It's all green-themed, and they're going to show off what they made. And for April 22nd, well, we're going to be having a tree planting garden where, holy shit. Well, you guys.
Part of the tree planting ceremony, students are going to have opportunities to decorate rocks and do little rock gardens as well, and we're planning on doing one of those for each of our four dorms.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's basically what I was going to say, but okay, that works. Anyways, the rocks are going to be obviously put around the tree, etc. See. Also, on the 22nd, we'll also be having a compost contest between all the reses to see who can collect the most compost. And there will be a prize going to the winning res. And I believe on the 24th, we're doing community service.
And Tita wants to add to the community service comment.
There will be two things that we're doing in terms of community service. April 22nd, the Thursday, is actually Earth Day. And the city of Astoria, for the bicentennial, is planting 200 trees around the city so that they're in good shape by the time of the bicentennial next year. So our landscaping students and Chris Salisbury, the instructor, will be participating with the bicentennial committee and the city of Astoria in helping to plant those 200 trees. The community service that will be happening on Saturday is community service that we do rather regularly, but this time it's a special community service. It's with the North Coast Land Conservancy, and we will be planting trees. So during that whole week, there's a lot of students that will be participating in helping to create greenness for the planet.
Thank you. We started celebrating on March 27th with Earth Hour. Student government sponsored a flashlight scavenger hunt and encouraged staff and students to turn off non-essential lights. Scavenger hunt participants had fun guessing clue locations related to energy conservation and recycling and turning their clue sheets in for prizes during the hour. Thank you, Fernando and Tita. Tita recently gave a tour to a special guest. Tita?
One of my responsibilities is center tours, and recently I had the pleasure to learn about the early days of Job Corps along with giving a special tour. On Saturday, I was contacted by Lawrence Maxwell asking to be able to show his wife around the school that changed his life. Tongue Point Job Corps Center opened on February 2nd, 1965, and Larry was part of the second class. He was 17, from Chowchilla, California, and had quit high school during his senior year. While Larry's stay at Tongue Point lasted less than a year because he was drafted in January 1966, he told me how important that time was for him. During his stint at Tongue Point, Larry learned life skills that have taken him through a 27-year career as an engineer in the Army, from Vietnam to Desert Storm, to duty stations all around the world, from recruit to the ultimate, Sergeant Major in the Army. After retiring from the Army, Larry returned to his hometown and worked for the county parole system in the county where Chowchilla is. And then took a second retirement. At the time Larry attended Tongue Point, there was academics and only one trade, and it was all male. He earned his GED, and he trained in marine engine mechanics. Larry described how the building, which now houses the five trades of cement masonry, painting, plastering, glazing, and carpentry, was actually one huge open area where they learned to work on boats and boat engines, and they would bring boats right into the building. He remembered that the Coast Guard housed its aircraft in the hangar building, which is now our recreation center, and he talked about how much he liked the town of Astoria. There's always been a place in Larry's heart for Tongue Point Job Corps Center. Larry tells me how he spreads the word about the opportunities available through Job Corps, and he's proud to be a Job Corps success story.
Thank you, Tita. In last month's show, we reported that the dining hall staff serve approximately 50,000 meals, and we had to guess if it was weekly, monthly, or yearly. The answer is monthly. They actually serve about 600,000 meals per year. In addition, the dining hall prepares up to 300 to-go type lunches per week for our college students, work-based learning students, for vocational off-center outings and recreation trips, as well as preparing the new student dinner every Tuesday and preparing food for staff meetings and graduation. Feeding over 520 students three meals a day, 7 days a week, adds up. Thank you to our dining hall staff for the variety of items and outstanding customer service they provide at each meal. Now, we have four residences on center, dormitories for our students, and we just realized that all four of our reporters here today are from Residence 4, which is the independent living dorm. So I would like to have them talk to you about what the independent living dorm is and why they wanted to move there, or if they've been there from the beginning.
Well, this is Kayla. I've been there since the very beginning. My input was the second to last input that was just automatically placed at random in Residence 4. So since I arrived here in December of 2008, that's the only residence I've been in. I've actually been in the same exact room the whole entire time I've been here, which is very surprising. That's not normal, actually, at all. I think usually my friends have moved two or three rooms in their stay here. So I'm very lucky. I got here, and they changed to be able to become a part of the residence for after the second week that I lived there, you had to apply and be accepted. And if you were already someone there, you had to maintain the same standards as the people who were applying. So I got lucky, and I've been there ever since.
So this is Takena. I actually applied for Res 4 in August of 2009. I got accepted. I was on gold, and that was one of the requirements. You have to be either silver, gold, or platinum. You have to maintain four and five room scores, and give an essay, and have three staff references. That was one of my goals from when I first got there. I wanted to be in Res 4, the independent living dorm, because I portrayed independent living styles. And it fit my needs to be as being on center. I love my room. It has a bathroom in there, so there's no sharing one big shower hall or stalls. And it's very clean and friendly environment, very open. We actually call it the village because it's one of our things is the village. And we are like a village. We say connected and a lot of good vibes through the dorm.
This is Erica. I've actually applied to the independent living dorm twice, sometime last year. And being human, I'm very indecisive. And I decided to apply before our winter break in December. And I got approved into the independent living dorm in January. And I'm in a room with my input sister, which is my favorite person on center, and I also room with Kayla Schacht, who's also in the studio with us.
So why did you apply twice?
I felt like, I don't know, I was losing interest in, not losing interest, I wanted a different living environment. I was in an honor room with one of my friends. It was a two-person honor room, but I felt it would be better to have a bathroom in my room and to be neighbors or possibly be in a room with my input sister, which I am in a room now with. So that's why I decided to move to Res 4.
Outstanding. Fernando.
Hi. Well, I applied to Res 4 because, you know, I wanted some more freedoms, which you actually get a couple more at Res 4. So it's good because it's not really a bad time because, you know, you need to be responsible, wake up in the morning, get things ready, stuff.
In Res 4, we have a few extra freedoms than other residences have. We only have section duties, which is where certain sections of each res clean the res. And I think in other reses, it's ongoing, constantly, section duties. But for us, each section, and there's four, only has to clean 5 days a week for each month, so less section duties that I've heard, because I've been there since the beginning, I don't know. But I can't imagine not having a personal bathroom, and it sounds terrible, and I'm sorry for everyone. But I love it in our res. Everyone's really sweet, everyone's nice, and we don't have curfew. Usually most reses you have to be in your room or asleep by 10 o'clock, and we don't have that. And some of the honor rooms have cable, so yeah, it's pretty intense. But most of all, our res is, it's pretty open. Even the location, it's right by a little lake, and it's like our own little oasis. And it's, the RAs are all very kind. Our RLS is very sweet, and her name's Michael, and she's all about everyone getting along and kumbaya and stuff sometimes. And I just, it's a really great environment to be in. I like it. The people are really good, and I don't know, it's a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. We are one of the only residences that have co-ed visits with restrictions. We have these bright pink passes that say visitor, and you can't really deny that there's somebody in there visiting. So it's one of the other perks about it. We can have ladies and guys rooms and gentlemen and ladies rooms. So it was that's a nice little change, because then you can have guys, your boyfriends or your girlfriends in your room.
And another thing is the independent living dorm is also almost technically the college dorm. Lots of the college students move to Res 4 if they're not already there, because you are in the other residences 1, 2, and 3. They're closed off to the students after 8 a.m. between 8 and the end of the training day, about 4 o'clock, and you can't get back in until 4 p.m. And in our res, in Res 4, it's open all day long. So if you're a college student, you have morning classes and evening classes, and you get back around noon, then you can go back to your room and hang out and do homework in your room. And we are also actually the only dorm that has a computer lab in our TV, in our main room area. So it's really perfect for college students. You can go, come and go as you please. And it's definitely the epitome of independence on center.
And one of the things I find interesting is the other dorms have quiet hours starting at 10, but in your dorm, there's quiet hours starting at 9.
I think it's just for the college students, that some college students have to leave really early, or some it's not that big of an issue. The setup of our res is also, it's kind of motel-esque. Mm-hmm. It's set up outside. We all have our own like walkway, and the other residences are
hallways.
It's an inside a building, and ours is outside, so the noise isn't so, you know, the walls aren't so thin, and so we don't have problems really with noise issues at all.
I've heard it's a really great place to study and a really good environment.
It is.
Well, thank you. Congratulations on being in the independent living dorm. Tita.
Another upcoming event that we have is graduation. We have 4 graduations a year at Tongue Point Job Corps Center. And our students, because we get students in every week and students leave every week, many students really are challenged to be able to come back and graduate, or as we call it, walk the stage. Some of them have to ask for a day off from work. Of course, those who live far away, they have to travel and pay for the gas, that kind of thing. So we're always very pleased when students come back to graduate and to walk the stage. Next Friday, the 23rd, we will have about 40, somewhere between 45 and 50 people graduating. It's the largest graduating class in about 2 years. So we are really pleased that this is going to happen. So all of the students have the opportunity to come to the graduations and cheer on the graduates. 2 students will be giving speeches, and there's always a guest speaker from the community. So we're really looking forward to that this year.
Thank you. So there you have it, the April 2010 edition of This is Job Corps, a monthly radio magazine about Job Corps in general and the Tongue Point Job Corps Center in particular. Job Corps has been around for 45 years now, 45 years of helping young people. Thank you to our student reporters, Erica Keough, Fernando Salazar, Takena Thomas, and Kayla Schacht. Thank you to our special guests, Bill and Dorothy Davidson. Also to Terry Wilson, co-producer of this program, and Tita Montero, Tongue Point Business and Community Liaison. We are in our 6th year of This is Job Corps. Thanks to everyone for making this show such a success. Thank you to the staff and students of the Tongue Point Job Corps Center and to the local businesses and citizens for their help and support with this program. It is our hope that through this program, everyone has become aware of how very important the Job Corps concept is to all of us locally and nationwide. In 45 years, Job Corps has helped more than 2 million young men and women gain the education, training, and social skills they need to become responsible, contributing members of society. Job Corps, 2 million careers, one future at a time. Job Corps, where success lasts a lifetime. Job Corps, the bridge to success. Thank you for listening tonight. Remember, This Is Job Corps can now be heard at any time by going to coastradio.org, click the On Demand button, and select the program. As we go forward, we will add more of our shows to the On Demand feature. On behalf of Tongue Point Job Corps Center, I'm Tamara Walker for KMUN and KTCB. We will be back May 16th for our next edition of This Is Job Corps, including a feature about our upcoming spring graduation. See you then. Good night.